It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower here on the Horn. Craig Way with you in Oklahoma City, where the Big 12 Conference Baseball Tournament, the Phillips 66 Big 12 Baseball Championship, gets underway tonight from the Chickasaw Bricktown Ballpark right here in the heart of downtown Oklahoma City. The 8-9 play-in game, Kansas and West Virginia. The winner tomorrow afternoon will take on the Big 12 Conference regular season champions, the Texas Longhorns. Co-champions with TCU, the number one seed, are the Longhorns in the tournament. Scheduled for 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Scheduled for a 3:45 airtime here on the Horn. We'll see how that flows with the length of the first two games, but that's the schedule for that going on. But I'm up here in Oklahoma City. Of course, Jeff Howe. Trying to stay cool down in the ARN studios. Has it cooled off?
It's gotten better.
You had the portable fan running in there.
Yeah, it's gotten better. Dave and Isaiah have been running around trying to make sure we're good and we're in working order. So they've been in here. Good. They've been behind the glass where Snoop is. So I can feel it. It's getting cool. But I've seen some feedback on the Specs text line 337-3776. No, nobody is passing gas or breaking wind on the air. It's just the little portable. I don't know, Bucky said this thing's like a allergy filter / portable air conditioner that we've got going on here. So that's on in the background. That's what you hear.
That's what they're hearing. They're hearing instead of hearing methane emissions or something like that, they're hearing that.
Not anybody's body trumpet. It's just a portable cooling device.
Good to know that. And also, I think we found the name of Snoop Daniels' next fantasy football team, the Deke Deeks, from hour number one. It's a small animal, kind of a scaled down version of an antelope in Kenya, where they're going to track those along with the other. They're doing an animal census. They're trying to track every single living and breathing animal, fish, and bird there in Kenya. Quite a job. Quite an undertaking there. We have the undertaking, obviously, of bringing you this program and also bringing you the Longhorn baseball games from here in the Big 12 tournament. That'll go on just to let folks know. And then we're going to, coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we're going to a brief conversation with Zach Zubia, the Longhorns, technically classified as redshirted junior in terms of athletic ability or athletic eligibility, but he's a senior. He was honored on senior day. And we'll have the chat with him momentarily. But just to let folks know, they're wondering, you know, what the schedule is. The Longhorns are scheduled to play at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The tournament begins actually tonight with the 8-9 play-in game. West Virginia, the 8 seed. Kansas, the 9 seed. The winner is going to get Texas. I will be interested. I'm going to obviously go over and watch the game tonight because of having the vested interest in anybody else who has any connection, be it fan, media, whatever, has with the Longhorns who are in town. They'd be interested in knowing who Texas is going to play. This is unique. This will be the first time that the teams have arrived in Oklahoma City with not every single team knowing who their first-round matchup is against. Texas doesn't know. It depends on who wins tonight's game, and then it'll be a quick turnaround to prepare for that. Now, they just saw West Virginia, so and that's pretty quick. But it's been almost 2 months since they played, almost 2 months since they played Kansas in Lawrence, swept all three games, and that was coming off that loss to Texas A&M, and it launched the 16-game winning streak at that point. And I'm be curious to see the pitching matchup. I know Carlson Reed's going to go for West Virginia because he was originally scheduled to be the Game 3 starter against the Longhorns on Saturday. Once it became clear that West Virginia was going to be in the play-in no matter what happened in their game against Texas, Randy Mays, the head coach, then pulled Reed as the starter and decided to go with a bullpen group at that point and save Reed for this single elimination game. This one, single elimination. Win and your season continues, lose, and it's done for West Virginia and Kansas. Neither one obviously has any shot to make it as an at-large into a region. They must win the Big 12 tournament in order to qualify for a regional. So, toward that end, they'll go with the guys. I'll be curious to see who Kansas goes with. It could be Larson, who's a good pitcher. They might be that Ryan Sear has mainly gone out of the bullpen of late. So I'm curious to see what Rich Price will do with Kansas. But they play tonight. The winner will get Texas tomorrow. It's the third game of the day. It starts 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And didn't you mention yesterday, Jeff, that Baylor-Texas Tech game, Tech the 3 seed, Baylor the 6 seed, I think that's an ESPNU telecast. Almost all of the tournament is on that Big 12 Now ESPN Plus digital streaming subscription feed. But there are a few games on ESPNU and then, of course, a championship on ESPN2. And isn't the Baylor Tech game one of the ones that's on the U tomorrow morning?
That is one of them. Yep, Craig, 9 a.m. on ESPNU. You've also got Thursday, the morning session on Thursday, the 9 a.m. and the 12:30. Those two will be on ESPNU. Those are two loser's bracket games. And then everything else is on ESPN+, up until the championship game, which is on the Deuce.
Okay. All right. So that one's tomorrow. So that's at 9 a.m. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning is Baylor and Tech. And then scheduled for 12:30, the 2-seed TCU, the 7-seed Kansas State. And they're just coming off that series in Manhattan where K-State took 2 of 3 from TCU. One of the two victories Kansas State had is with their outstanding left-hander Jordan Wicks, went 7 2/3 innings. By the way, the final Big 12 Pitcher of the Year honoree. And I have no doubt he'll probably get the ball again and go for them tomorrow. And I'm also, Jeff, curious to see what Jim Schlossnagel does. And this is a little bit of a spoiler alert, because when we get to the bottom of the hour, we're going to get to regional projections, because D1 Baseball is going to update their regional projections every day this week.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already started with the ones going into conference tournament play. So it's a very fluid thing. So they'll continue to update it every day. Well, as of today, and here's the spoiler alert part, TCU is no longer a top 8 national seed. They've kind of swapped out with Texas Tech, and Tech is now in that top 8. But we speculated that would be the case yesterday when we were talking about it yesterday, Jeff. So toward that end, does Jim Schlossnagel feel that they've got to do some damage in this tournament? Do they have a realistic shot to recapture a top 8 national seed after having dropped their last 3 weekend series? And so how does he approach it? Who does he pitch tomorrow afternoon with Jordan Wicks going for Kansas State?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, Craig, on the Texas side of things. So I asked David Pierce on Saturday, after the West Virginia game was over, if he and Sean Allen, if that was something they still needed to decide, whether they were going to bullpen Wednesday's game or just go with Ty Madden. I know he had said he liked the idea of back-to-back weeks being able to go Madden and Stevens on back-to-back, Thursday and then Friday with Stevens if necessary. Do we know yet, Craig, if they're going to just go Madden on Wednesday or if they're going to bullpen
it's Madden.
It is Madden for sure?
Okay. It's definitely tied. And I heard him talk about it with Bucky and Aaron this morning. He hopped on a couple of days early since the tournament gets underway tomorrow. He's definitely going with Ty Madden. And I think Ty has taken part in a Zoom availability this morning too.
Yep.
Yeah. He's the guy. He will get the ball. And for folks who go, why would you do that? Consider this for the logic involved. And then we'll get to the conversation with Zach Zubia. The Longhorns are sitting at 40 wins. they've won the Big 12 regular season, or, you know, shared the title with TCU, but they're the top seed, and they won the series in Fort Worth, took 2 out of 3 from the Frogs. So they're looked at as being every bit the conference champion that TCU is, if not more so, even though they both get a trophy. So they are a conference champion in a Power 5 league. Their RPI is number 3. They're ranked number 2 in most of the polls, or number 3, right around there. I think Baseball America has them number 4. But anyway, they're obviously ranked in the top 5. They have, I believe, the 3rd most wins total right now of any of the programs. Arkansas and Tennessee, I think, both have 42. And if Longhorns hadn't had the 2 rainouts, they probably would be sitting at 42 wins also. But that's neither here nor there now. And so they're in position A to be a top 8 national seed. To the extent that they're probably not going to do any damage to that top 8 national seed, no matter what happens up here. Now, to hear all the players talk about it, and you'll hear Zach Zubia talk about it, it's kind of a refreshing approach, I have to admit. They all are very, very eager to play this tournament. They want to win this tournament. I've not heard that. This is my 20th Big 12 Conference tournament to call. And I've not heard that, not much, from Longhorn players in the past, other than obviously in 2015 they knew they had to win the tournament, right, or they wouldn't have gone to a regional. These guys, almost to a man, say, no, this is the next one on the list. You play for a reason to win and all this. Now, and David Pierce brought up a good point, Jeff, and this gets back to the Ty Madden thing. He has the flexibility. He has the luxury, if you will, of not having to pitch his frontline guys for as long or as hard, or use his bullpen as much as he might grind them if he had to have the series. He can kind of, you know, bring it along methodically, look at some other guys. Do they want to win it? Absolutely. But he doesn't have to go all out on that at the expense of damaging something that might be in play for NCAA play, starting with the regionals next weekend. So toward that end, he can go with Ty Madden tomorrow, and then Ty also then would be on 9 days rest before he would get the ball for the regional opener. David really likes the thought of having Ty, as you pointed out, to start the opener with the tournament on 1 day's less rest, but he says he's fine and good to go. Then go Friday for the regional, and you hope you take care of business, and you hope you succeed, and if you do, then you're hosting a super regional, and he gets the ball for that Friday for that super regional, and you hope you take care of business, and you hope you win that, and then you got him ready to go for game 1 in Omaha. So it's pitchers, as we know, are big creatures of habit and routine, and so you say, okay, well, let's extrapolate it out. If they really do want to win the Big 12 tournament, how do you pitch it? How do you play it? You go with Ty Madden game 1 tomorrow. You go with Tristan Stevens in game 2 Thursday. Hopefully you win both those games. You get a day off Friday. You come back on Saturday, and you can go with Pete Hansen on Saturday to pitch you into the championship, and then you bullpen it if you do get to the final on Sunday, because by then the other team that's gotten there also is going to be taxed pretty well on its pitching, especially if they wind up having to go through the elimination bracket. So those are all of the reasons behind going into that, and you bankroll a couple of more victories. If Ty's on his game and Tristan's on his game and this team stays on its game, you get a couple of more wins plus an off day. You're into the semifinal round. If there was any doubt in anybody's mind about a top 8, then it removes that, although I think, like I said, I think it's locked in at this point anyway. So
thoughts
on the pitch.
On that deal, just as far as the team's focus on winning the thing, and that, you know, being something that's kind of, you know, you haven't really seen or heard, unless it's been a year where obviously they knew they needed to win it to get in. It really feels like, and this is talking to multiple guys over the weekend and throughout the West Virginia series, and especially on Saturday after they wrapped it up and you know, hoisted a conference championship trophy, they've really bought into, you know, this idea of a season of 5 championships. Big 12 regular season, Big 12 tournament, regional, super regional, and then in Omaha. So I think that's part of it too, Craig. And, you know, I hate to keep going back to this well, but because we've gone there so often, but it really helps tell the story of this team. I think you go back to two things. I think the COVID shutdown last year, and I think what happened in Arlington to start the year. This team strikes me, Craig, as one that they don't take anything for granted. They view it as a privilege and a joy to go to work every day. And I think that's what exemplifies that is the times David's mentioned, look, if it's a day, like a game day where, hey, everybody get here, 10 o'clock to get your work started, he's coming in the office at 8 a.m. and there are guys already in the cages. So I just think this team, through everything they've been through, I think they've just got a different kind of mindset about them.
I totally agree, and you're about to hear Zach Zubia refer to that as well. It's different. It's a different feel with this particular group. Maybe it has something to do with the makeup, because this is a more continental group, so to speak. It's definitely a different vibe from the different climes. You got a Mike Antico from New Jersey, and you've got Pete Hansen from California, and you've got those guys, and then you've got a bunch of native Texans as well, but from different parts of Texas. Ivan Melendez is from El Paso, and you got Zubia from Houston, and you've got Faltini from Houston. You've got different guys in different roles, and Mitchell Daly's from Alabama. I mean, so maybe that has something to do with it. But there's just a different vibe about this group than one that I've been around in a while. Toward that end, this was just a little while ago, right before we went on the air, coming out of breakfast with the team this morning, had the opportunity just to get a couple of brief words with the Longhorns first baseman, Zach Zubia.
So does it seem like it's been a while since you played in a conference tournament?
I think it's been, since 2019 or since 2018 now. I'm pretty pumped up to be here in Oklahoma City. I know this is a great event, a great venue. Fans travel real well here too, and I'm really excited to get playing on Wednesday.
What do you remember about your tournament experience in 18?
I remember it was quick, but I think that helped me understand that this needs to be treated like an Omaha type format or a larger regional type format, because it really shows you the importance of the first two games, and it really shows you the advantage you have whenever you go into that third game with two games under your belt rather than a loss and having to climb yourself way back out of the loser's bracket. So obviously our first priority is Wednesday, but just the big picture is important too.
The vibe I'm getting from a lot of your teammates and you yourself is that the tournament means a lot, and sometimes the teams, especially one seeds regular season champions, you guys know you're in position A to be a top eight national seed, that there it might not carry that much weight, but it sounds like from visiting everybody that it's the next one on the list and it means something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this team really takes games lightly, and I think that we go in every single game trying to win. And I think that's what makes us good. It's a really important thing in our team to come in with the same mindset every single game, and that's to win. And, I think we want to – it's just something else on our resume, and I think that's really important to understand.
You've seen all these teams. You've gone up against all these teams. How much actual mental homework goes into what's going on up here at the time that you're preparing for your game?
I mean, you got to go back and watch what they've done after you've played them and see what they're doing to get better too as well. I think that – We're all evolving throughout the whole year, and to see what a Oklahoma, like we did play them in the first couple weeks of conference, and see what they're doing, or see what a Kansas is doing when we played them early too, and just there's homework that goes into it still. You got to prepare for like it's every other game, and you just can't take any team lightly.
Yeah, so there's the homework element, and that's an impressive thing too, Jeff, to see that this team is still trying to get better, trying to improve, and you do your homework. I know, like I said, coming up at the top of the hour, they're headed over to the ballpark. They get an hour in the cage indoors, and then they get, I think David told me, they get one hour pure on the field. They got like about an hour and 10 minutes, counting the time they get out there and get everybody situated. They got one solid hour on the field just to get loose and to get used to the ballpark again. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow. It's a quirky design, asymmetrically designed ballpark with lots of nooks and crannies and angles and stuff like that to get used to, especially if you're a defensive player and in the outfield having to play some of those caroms. So that's coming. But it's refreshing. It's good to hear the guys say the conference tournament means a lot, and not just from the perspective of those, the lower seeds who need it. I'm looking at you, Baylor. I'm not saying Baylor has to win it, but if you look at the D1Baseball.com projections, they do not need to go 0-2 up here if you want to get in.
Of the 64 in the field, they're 64.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last five in, they're number five of the last five in, according to D1. And that's because of what's happened the last two weekends. They had played their way in to it. They'd had a really good run, including taking 2 of 3 in Lubbock from Texas Tech. But they have slid the last couple of weekends. And dropping 2 out of 3 at Oklahoma State was no disgrace. The Cowboys are definitely in the field. They have an RPI of 16. But to drop 2 of 3 at home to, at the time, sub-500 Oklahoma team, that hurts. So they've got work ahead of them, starting with 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with yep. Texas Tech. We'll get to all that and more coming up, because we have the notebook right around the corner next. When we continue with Light the Tower, Craig Way in Oklahoma City, Jeff Howell down in the ARN studios, along with our producer Snoop Daniel. We continue live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Light the Tower with Craig Way, Jeff Howell, and Snoop Daniel.
Anthem these days. The red wine he likes. No, but you said you like. You said you like Pinot Noir. So that is
yes.
a red wine. So
mm-hmm.
you're okay with that.
Yes,
okay.
I dig it.
You would have felt. You would have. Fallen right in nicely and fit in perfectly with UB40.
There. Oh yeah, just, maybe just so. Insane. So did Bob Marley sing that originally or no? And that's an original UB40 song. Okay. I don't know. Like, I don't know why they have a picture of Bob Marley on the UB40 thing. It's weird. Anyway.
Well, that's a good question.
It's kind of reggae, but not really, right?
Oh, well, you can definitely reggae to that. Definitely. Okay. Especially the part where there's red, red wine, you make me feel so fine. All the time. Red, red wine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to see you sing that karaoke.
Yeah, not going to do that. What we are going to do, however, is go to the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
I'll do that karaoke for you, Snoop.
Will you?
You give me a
that would be an easy one to do.
You give me a six-pack of Miller High Life, and I'll do damn near whatever you want me to at that point.
Okay, something wrong with that, with wanting a six-pack of Miller High Life to sing Red, Red Wine.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's the champagne of beers for a reason, Craig.
That is. And let me say this. I'm going to lead you in to talking baseball by telling folks that right now, as we speak at 11:34 a.m., there is postseason baseball going on right now. Sun Belt Tournament in Montgomery, Alabama, top of the seventh. Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina leading Little Rock 14-0. Texas State, Jeff's alma mater, plays tonight at 7:30 thereabouts against Appalachian State. That's a weird deal. They got pool play there. You play two games and see if you advance to one of four pool play finals. They have that. And also, the SEC tournament is underway.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom of the fifth, 13th-ranked Florida is leading Kentucky. 3-1 in the bottom of the fifth of
yeah.
that one. So there's big baseball going on right now.
I want to talk college baseball here in just a sec, Craig, but I got to get a football note out of the way. And you spent many a year in the Metroplex, so I think you'll feel where I'm coming from on this. So
okay.
We know the NFL is doing – they've given guys options other than quarterbacks to wear single-digit numbers. Okay, this is one of the big deals going into the 2021 season. The catch is if you change your number, you, the player, you have to buy out whatever remaining jersey number or jersey number, whatever inventory the team has and the league has with that old number on it, you have to buy it out if you want to change numbers. So there's a price to pay. So a lot of Cowboys fans have their panties in a bunch Because Jalen Smith is going to wear number 9, switching from 54 to 9. And I just don't – I'm not using this portion of the notebook, Craig, to crap on Tony Romo. I just don't know at what point – like, Tony, I feel the same way about Tony Romo that I feel about you two. When we did the music survey, I said the same thing about you two. I don't know when Cowboys fans crown Tony Romo like the greatest and best quarterback in the history of the franchise that, you know, his number should never be worn by anybody again, neglecting the fact that Jalen Smith for his entire career as a Cowboy has worn 54, which, might I add, is in the Ring of Honor twice.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anybody say anything about, hey, what about disrespecting Chuck Howley or Randy White? None of that. It's all about, oh my gosh, you can't wear a 9 because of Tony Romo. I'm not near as concerned about him wearing 9 as, A, I am about Jalen Smith just playing better, and B, the fact that he wore 54 and there was nary a peep mentioned.
It's true. That's true.
So,
nothing happened.
Just want to get that out of the way. Just, I'm not – Tony Romo's neither here nor there for me. I just don't understand – why Cowboys fans and specifically the Jones family just hold him up on this pedestal with Troy Aikman and Roger Staubach, Don Meredith, where he, in my opinion, does not belong in the pantheon of Cowboys quarterbacks. Anyway,
well, I would just say this. I would also say this. Maybe they're not only upset about that number 9 being taken in the good name of Tony Romo. It might also be taken in the name of Mitch Hoops, their punter off the 1975 wild card team that advanced to the Super Bowl, who came in the same time as Randy White. So I'm just saying, maybe that's the reason. He was drafted in the 8th round. He was the 200th overall selection in the 1975 NFL draft. We lost him last August. He passed away at the age of 67. But he was the Cowboys punter, Mitch Hoops, H-O-O-P-E-S. He was the Cowboys punter in that Super Bowl.
That's why I love doing a show with you, Craig, because you can bring that up.
And he wore number 9, so maybe that's the reason. I don't know. Just saying. So, but your point is well taken.
Yeah,
it's well taken. Yeah,
I do want to talk some college baseball, and let's start with regional projections and looking at the Big 12. We've already talked about some of this, but I think it just bears repeating. We'll look at the D1Baseball.com regional projections, Craig. And Texas, as of last night, or yesterday afternoon, when D1, and they're going to do this daily now that we're in conference tournament time. And it's going to, and the main reason why it changes is any, and, you know, especially like for the smaller conferences. I know like the SWAC is one. Like Jackson State just tore through the SWAC during the regular season.
Yeah.
So they were in the regional projections. They lose in the finals of the SWAC tournament to Southern. So therefore, your projection has to change since Southern now has the automatic bid out of the SWAC. So as these conference tournaments get finalized, they're going to change, and D1's just going to kind of do these fluidly up until we get to Selection Monday as conference tournaments play out. So, Craig, it is worth mentioning your top 8, there was that change at the bottom, basically with TCU out. And TCU right now is the projected number 11 overall seed for D1. Texas Tech sliding back in to the top 8 projection. And we said yesterday, Craig, when you look at RPI, you look at head-to-head, you look at top 25 wins, you look at top 100 wins, even though TCU did share the Big 12 regular season with Texas and finished higher in the standings than Texas Tech and had a better conference record, that's the only data point where you can say TCU definitively has a better resume than Texas Tech, its conference record.
Yeah. You're right. Otherwise, very, very close. Plus, Tech, of course, has the head-to-head series victory. I will tell you, though, Jeff, if this happens and these projections go out the way that they're going, I'm going to be disappointed because the Fort Worth Regional no longer would have the heavy church influence. I mean, it's got to have church influence because you have Texas Christian University is the one, Arizona State the 2, Dallas Baptist the 3, but then Bryant, the number 4, who had been ticketed for Austin earlier, and they have shifted Abilene Christian out to that Lubbock Regional if that were to happen. So you wouldn't have ACU, TCU, and DBU all in the same regional, you know, which was very, very ecumenically balanced. You wouldn't have that if that were to happen. I'm just saying.
So Texas still holding on to the number 3 overall national seed, according to D1Baseball.com. In the Austin Regional right now, it would project to be Texas as the 1, taking on Stony Brook as the 4. UCLA is the 2, and Liberty as the 3. Craig, we talked about the Big 12, and I think it's worth repeating. If you look at D1's last 5 in, they go team 60 to 64. Baylor is 64 of 64 right now going into the Big 12 tournament. They are getting projected to get the very last at-large bid to be the last team in the field of 64 right now.
And whether they're the 64 team or not, it's emblematic of and demonstrative of the fact that there's very little wiggle room for Steve Rodriguez Ball Club. They come to Oklahoma City knowing they need to have some success. We joked about this in the past when Steve Smith was coaching the Bears. It seemed to be that way almost every year. Tom Barfield, our good friend who helped us out on some Longhorn broadcasts this year and who was the voice of Baylor baseball for 15 years, told us that it seemed like every year they came up here somewhere between 31 and 34 wins, knowing they needed to win a couple of games probably, or they might not get in. Well, there they are at 31 wins and probably needing a couple of wins. And it would be an RPI booster if they could beat Tech. And, of course, they took 2 or 3 in Lubbock, which really helped them when they were on the rise. But they're gonna need some success. You know, if they could get back-to-back wins, say, over Tech and TCU and get to the semifinals on Saturday, they might be okay. But if they go, you know, 2 in barbecue or even 1-2, it might not help them much. So, I mean, you know, if they lose and then stay alive by beating Kansas State and then lose again either to Tech or TCU, I don't think that helps them. They need a signature win, or at least one that will help, and a win over Tech or TCU could help. If say, they were to lose to Tech and then beat TCU to stay alive, that'll help. But it might not necessarily like it. At that point, I think it's kind of out of your hands, and you're looking at other conferences across the country and hoping that, you know, that a lot of chalk holds at that point, and you don't have bid stealers like the one you just mentioned. Well, the SWAC is not a bid stealer because Jackson State's not going to get it.
Conference USA, Craig's one of those leagues where somebody can steal a bid.
Yeah,
because like Charlotte, for instance, Charlotte's in, no question.
Yep. Louisiana Tech is in.
Right.
And I think Southern Miss is in as well, one of those three. I mean, all three of those teams get in. But if someone other than those three win that tournament, then it's a problem.
I'll give you another one if you're a Baylor fan, Craig, or one of these bubble teams, including an interesting one I'll mention in just a minute. Like the West Coast tournament's another one that you want to pay attention to. Because like Gonzaga's in. Right now, D1's got them as one of 16 regional hosts. If Gonzaga doesn't win the West Coast tournament, then that's another stolen bid. So real quick, Craig.
And by the way, just on your West Coast theory, Jeff, Baylor is helped by the fact that the Pac-12 and the Big West and the Big Ten are not having conference tournaments. Pac-12 and Big West never have them anyway.
Right.
But the Big Ten's not having one this year. Nebraska's already captured the automatic bid from that league. And by the way, in the projections, they're ticketed for Lubbock as the 2 seed out of that. So that helps a school like Baylor because the chalk has already been, you know, written down on those. You don't have to worry about a bid stealer taking an automatic bid from either of those three leagues. But it's the other ones they have to be concerned with.
Two things real quick, Craig, in the Big 12 before we get to some college baseball potpourri and close this thing out. Oklahoma State right now, they're the projected number 2 seed in the Fayetteville Regional. Arkansas, obviously, they could go 2 and barbecue in Hoover, and I still don't think it matters. I think they've got the number 1 overall seed in the tournament locked up. So Oklahoma State projected to go to Fayetteville as the number 2. Craig, I don't think there's any way Oklahoma State hosts. I just don't think they can do enough in this tournament to get themselves in a regional hosting position at this point, right?
No, too many teams to climb past.
Yeah.
Including a TCU or Tech. That one of those two is not going to be a top 8, but will be hosting.
Right.
I mean, even if TCU goes 2 and barbecue here, they're still going to host. They're just not going to be a top 8. If Texas Tech isn't a top 8, they'll still be hosting. So you've got 3 Big 12 conference schools hosting. Texas will be a top 8, probably either Tech or TCU would be a top 8. They still have a little bit of work to do, both of them there, to cement that. but either of those two would be a top eight, and then the other would be a regional host out of the top 16. So I don't think there's any room at that point based on who else, like out of the Pac-12, you have Arizona, you have Oregon, you have Stanford. It, you know, they're based on all the others we expect to be top 16s, East Carolina, Notre Dame will be a top eight, Mississippi State will be a top eight. We know that. Vanderbilt, obviously, because of all of those, Florida, and D1 is saying Charlotte right now supplanting La Tech, but that's fluid. That could be Charlotte. It could be Louisiana Tech. It could be Southern Miss. Old Dominion could have put itself in position. They didn't submit a bid. So they're not going to do that. And as Kendall Rogers told us last week, if Charlotte hosts, they're going to host at the minor league ballpark. Actually, it's a Woodbat Summer Collegiate League ballpark in Gastonia, about 30 miles to the west of Charlotte. That's where they would host if it turns out that way.
And just real quick, Craig, I think, too, when you talk about Oklahoma State teams they would have to climb, there's also that kind of that trio of ACC teams that if they were to get hot in a conference tournament and things shake out, they'd be ahead of Oklahoma State in the pecking order. Look at it. Miami is one. Virginia Tech is another. And NC State, who played really well down the stretch. Also, Craig, real quick, first five out for D1. They've got Oklahoma as basically, if you're going 65 to 69, they got Oklahoma one of the first five out at 66. I mean, I guess it's possible that, you know, a win over – basically, a win over Oklahoma State in the Bedlam game on Wednesday, and then if they were to turn around and beat Texas and then, you know, be in a situation where Texas or Oklahoma State would have to beat them twice to get into the Big 12 championship game, I don't know, maybe that does it for the Sooners, but I've got to think it's reaching – the Big 12 championship game with three wins on their side of the bracket.
That's a great point. I started to say at least two wins and maybe a third.
Yeah,
it might take reaching the final, and that would probably mean three really good RPI victories. And if they had that, it might be enough to get them in again. You're rooting for chalk at that point, too, for there not to be bid stealers. But at least the Sooners have hope going in. I mean, it's the you're telling me there's a chance. There is a chance they could be an at-large, but it's a slim chance of being an at-large. So,
One thing I want to do before we hit the break, Craig, we talked about this, spent a lot of time on yesterday's show talking about it. The Big 12 postseason awards came out. I don't think we said it was either going to most likely be David Pierce or Tim Tadlock for Coach of the Year, and it ends up being David Pierce, well-deserved. Ty Madden was very much in the mix for Big 12 Pitcher of the Year. He takes that home. We figured what Big 12 Player of the Year and Newcomer of the Year were going to be. And I think all the superlatives, Craig, went according to plan. First team all Big 12 for Texas. You've got Tristan Stevens, Mitchell Daly, Ivan Melendez, and Trey Madden all on the first team. Cam Williams and Mike Antico on the second team. And then Silas Ardoin, Trey Faltini, Douglas Hodo, Pete Hansen, Aaron Nixon, Tanner Witt, Zach Zubia, all honorable mention, all Big 12. I don't think, you know, the only thing, Craig, as far as the fan complaints from yesterday, maybe Trey Faltini getting a second team nod just solely based on his defense. But other than that, you can make an argument for Pete Hansen to be first or second team, all Big 12. But I don't think the coaches were going to put three Texas pitchers on the first team list. But other than those two things, I don't have much of an issue with anything that went down on the all Big 12 teams yesterday.
Neither do I. And with regard to Pete, even though he may be the hottest pitcher in the Big 12 right now, his wins in his win-loss record are front-loaded with midweek wins.
Right.
So has he been there down the stretch? Absolutely. He's pitched great starting after Stillwater coming out of the bullpen, and then he got the ball to be the weekend starter after that and did great job against TCU and did his job clearly against West Virginia as well. But it was front-loaded with Texas State's and A&M Corpus's and those types. That's another reason why. But I'll tell you what, he's as hot as they come right now. And that you really like having. All right, we'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Time, which is at its conclusion for today. Now, Jeff, tomorrow you're down in Houston with Sark. Is that correct?
Yes. So what is our show format for tomorrow, Craig? I think it's kind of a hodgepodge.
Well, I'm on 10 from 10 to 11 tomorrow. And then Chad and Trey will step in there because I've got to get over to the ballpark to begin the setup there. But you're going to be down in Houston, right?
Yep. Full recap on Thursday when I get back.
All right. Well, looking forward to that. They'll have the two of us back on Thursday. I'll be on from 10 to 11 tomorrow morning from here in Bricktown. Speaking of Chad and Trey, stay tuned. Up next, the shirts and skins for our man behind the glass, our producer, Snoop Daniel. And for my co-host, Jeff Howe, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. We'll visit with you next time right here on Light the Tower.